It is my great privilege to be here with you in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. I'll just give a quick little introduction. Originally, we were thinking with Brother Abernathy that I would give a short little report, but I think that would go on a bit too long, and Lord willing, if the Lord spares us next year at this time, I could give a full report. But I will say a few words about my background. I spent most of my life in Canada, and that is why I speak English. My father was a Baptist minister. He was the son of a very well-known and mighty man of God, also a Baptist minister in our land in the Czech Republic. It was Czechoslovakia back then. So I was born in Czechoslovakia, but in 1981, my father had a call from a congregation in Toronto, Canada. It was an ethnic work, a Czechoslovak Baptist church, about 100 members in this work in Toronto. And there were various immigrants coming from Czechoslovakia because of communism. And so this work was established during World War II and went on up until even recent years. But in the Lord's providence, in 1997, I was a teacher. I was educated in Toronto, went to university in Toronto, and started teaching. And then in 97, I was brought to Whitfield Christian School in Toronto. This is the ministry of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. I was hired as a teacher, and this is how I was exposed to the denomination. And as I read different materials, as I got to know the various people from the church ministering in the school, and I attended various meetings, the Lord opened my eyes to see many issues that crept in into our denomination, into the church in the Czech Republic. And I was in our church session at that time, and after a number of years, I was led to resign from that position and resign membership in the church. It was a longer ordeal. It was very difficult. My father was the minister there not too long before that. And when I left the church and the denomination, I received a scathing letter from my father, who was back in the Czech Republic at that point. And that was the beginning of 20 years now of really battle against apostasy, against compromise, against my own family for many years, and it has been a difficult road. But in 2008, the Lord called us to go back with our family to pioneer a work of God, a separated witness. And this is where we are now. We've been there for over 8 years. I have a family of five children. The middle child, Timothy, is with me here. He's 15 years old. The oldest, Milosh, is 21. He's at university. And Abigail is second. She's 19. She's also at university. And then it's Timothy, 15, Caleb, 13, and Levi, 7. Four boys, one girl. The Lord has been very good to us, and the Lord has given me a good wife, a helpmeet, a godly woman. I'm thankful for that, and the Lord has been very merciful to us. Despite the challenges, the loneliness of a work like this, even as we've gone against our own family, our former brethren, and there's been much rejection of the Lord's word, but the Lord is faithful, and I trust that these few words will help you have at least some idea of what our situation is and what to pray for. If you would pray for us and for this work, we have a little band of people. There have been people who've come and gone, but there's a witness on sermon audio as well. The messages are in Czech. It is the only such witness, and we pray that the Lord would use even these messages on the internet. We have had various responses and some new contacts, even in the last year. So we're thankful for that, and we pray that the Lord would expand that work for His own glory. I will preach today from 1 Kings chapter 14, and it will be on our motto text for our little mission work in the Czech Republic. It's an unusual motto, a searching text, a confronting text of Scripture. But in the Lord's providence, I'm here this morning, and it's a word for each one here, and may the Lord use it. I know not what the Lord will say to you, but I trust that He will speak to you and challenge you in your life. We will read from verse 1, 1 Kings 14, reading in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of oil, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou, therefore, get thee to thine own house. And when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." And may the Lord bless the reading of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, holy, eternal word. Our text is in verse 6. It is the very end of the verse. Just the question that we have given to the wife of Jeroboam: why feignest thou thyself to be another? Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Which simply means, why do you pretend to be someone else? Why do you pretend to be someone else? That's a searching question, isn't it? It confronts us. It confronts each man, each woman. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount for quite some time in our church. And one of the themes, one of the key messages of the Sermon on the Mount is that we are under the all-seeing eye of God. It's not just our actions, not just the outwardly, it's our thoughts that the Lord knows, and He sees all. It's not just what we do, it's our heart. He sees all things. In chapter 6 of Matthew, that's the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Christian and his spiritual life. That's the first half of the chapter. And we begin the chapter, the Lord begins the chapter speaking of alms, the issue of alms, which is generosity towards others, helping others, giving of your time. And then the Lord says, we have the word in verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew 6, 3 and 4. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Then there's the issue of prayer, our relationship with God. And in verse 6 we read, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. The Lord sees what is on the inside, what is in the heart. And then we have the issue of fasting, which really speaks of personal discipline in the things of God. And in verses 17 and 18 we read, but then, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Don't look miserable. Don't show that you're fasting to everyone. In whatever things you do for God in that disciplined Christian life, don't make a show of it. For the Lord sees what is in secret. Thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seest in secret, shall reward thee openly. So the Lord, seeing all things, thou, God, seest me. We are always in the presence of God. Might be alone, might be in the closet, might be driving in the car, might be at work and working somewhere on our own, but the Lord sees us. He sees what is in the heart, not just what we're doing, but what is really in our hearts. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Don't pretend anything. No play acting. The Lord knows. He sees. We have that word in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Make no mistake. The Lord is not ridiculed. Another year has begun, and this text is a challenge to each one. It leads to self-examination. The only thing that really matters, dear people, is where we are in relation to our God. Where we really are in relation to our God, to the Lord. Where we are before Him. For He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Those with no shadow between them and the Lord, no shadow between you and the Lord this morning, will be encouraged by this word. For the Lord knows you. He knows your heart, and we'll think about that. Examples in the Scriptures where there's encouragement to those whose hearts are right with the Lord. It's a blessing to have an open relationship with the Lord. The Lord knows me. He knows that I love Him. He knows that I desire Him above all things. That's a wonderful thing. But then there are those who might be backslidden. Maybe no one knows. Maybe no one knows. It looks all right with you. Everything on the outside seems to be fine. But the Lord knows. And this message would be an exhortation to you to confess your sin and return to your Savior. For He knows your state, and you will not deceive Him. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? And then there are those who are lost. those who are lost. You've never come to the Lord. Maybe you've made some profession, but deep inside you know you don't know him. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. There are those who are lost without God in this world. And may you be entreated to flee unto him for salvation. Flee from the wrath to come. For you will not deceive him, and you will not escape him. Where do you stand today? Which of those categories are you in? Well, the Lord knows. He knows. You can deceive your minister. You can deceive your elders. You can deceive your relatives. You can even deceive your wife or husband. But you'll never deceive the Lord. Where do we stand before the Lord? That is the question. And so we'll consider three points. First of all, the Lord knows who we really are. The Lord knows who we really are, who we are in our hearts, what we really are. We read of the prophet that he was blind by reason of his age. He could not see anymore. The prophet might have been blind, but the Lord God of Israel was not blind. God wasn't blind. Jeroboam and his wife were not deceiving God. One servant of God writes, as soon as she came in, this woman, the wife of Jeroboam, the queen, as soon as she came in, the veil of her disguise was rent top to bottom. That prophet of God could not see, but the Lord revealed who was coming. And as soon as he heard the feet of this woman, the sound of her feet coming in at the door, he addressed her, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam." What a shock that must have been for her. What a shock. Not only could the prophet not see, but she was disguised. And it still didn't help. The Lord exposed her. We think of various men and women of God in the Scriptures whose heart was right with God. And when the Lord spoke of them, he could say of them that there were men or women after his own heart. It was said of David that he was a man after God's own heart. You know where Samuel, you know when Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons, one after another came, starting from the oldest, Eliab being the oldest, and as soon as he saw him, he thought this must be the one because of his countenance. He was handsome and he must have been a very manly, strong man because the Lord says, "Think not of the height of his stature." Don't look to the outwardly, the outward appearance. Look to the heart. That's where I look, and I know how Eliab really stands, where he really stands. We find that out a little later, where Eliab stood. But David, a man after the Lord's own heart. His brothers were impressive to look at, but that was all. Just the outwardly. The Lord looked to the heart, and there in that boy, David, wasn't even called at first, there was a man of God. A man of God. It makes you think of other men of God in their youth. It's wonderful to ponder the scriptures and sometimes consider your own life and what age you are and look at others in the scripture of that age. You might be in your teenage years here today and you think of David here. We mentioned David. Think of a Joseph at 17 years of age leaving his father's house for good. But that man walked with God. He knew his Lord. What obstacles in his way along the way? What the devil threw at him to trip him up? What temptations? And he was by himself, but he was not really by himself because the Lord was with him. I think it was Matthew Henry in a certain context wrote, "Though alone, never alone. Though alone, never alone. Because the Lord is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us." So Joseph went out, not knowing whither he went. No idea that he would never come back home again at 17 years of age. Think of a king of Judah, Josiah, 16 years of age. 16. And that land was steeped in apostasy. 16-year-old king turned the land, the people of Judah, of that kingdom, to God. His father, a wicked man. His grandfather, the most wicked king of Judah. There was repentance at the end of Manasseh's life, but 55-year reign of primarily wickedness. And his son reigned just for a couple of years. He was an idolater. And then comes Josiah, prophesied by name hundreds of years earlier. The Lord knows you, knows us. Oh, that you would seek him, that you would be a man or woman after God's own heart. The Lord knows our thoughts. The Lord knew Nathanael. It really is a wonderful portion of Scripture about Nathanael, isn't it? That should encourage every believer, because the Lord knew Nathanael's heart. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." That is what the Lord said as he saw Nathanael coming. And Nathanael said, when the Lord said these words, "Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? From where do you know me?" But you see, by saying that spontaneously, you wouldn't usually say that when somebody really commended you in such a way. He just spontaneously reacted because that was his heart. "Lord, how do you know that I'm a true Israelite? That I love God's things?" See, Nathanael showed he was a true believer. He loved the Lord. And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that. That's an encouragement. The Lord knows. There'll be people who will speak against you and say all manner of evil against you sometimes, but it'll be false and untrue. Do not worry. Do not worry. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows your heart. And he will show himself strong on your behalf in your life. He will bless you. He will bless you. You remember the time when the Lord Jesus heal the man sick of the palsy, a cripple. And his friends brought him and they lowered him into the room where the Lord was. And the Lord, the first thing he did when he saw the faith of those who brought him, the Lord said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That was the true healing. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when the Lord said that, as you know, those around him, the scribes, said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." They said it in their minds. No one knew anything. No one saw anything change. But they said that in their minds, said within themselves. And what a surprise it must have been. As we read, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" I know your heart. What a surprise that must have been. How did he know what I was thinking? Oh, he does know. He does know. He knows our hearts. And when you're walking with him, you are glad he knows your heart. Are you not? Are you not that he knows your heart? If others would disparage you, it doesn't matter. The Lord knows your heart. We think of another mighty king of Judah. In 2 Kings 20, we read of Hezekiah and his prayer when he found out that he would be sick and he was sick and he would die. And in verse 3, he says this, and this is his prayer. He prayed. He turned his face to the wall. He loved the Lord. And he prayed unto the Lord, saying, verse 3, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Notice what he said. "Remember, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart." Well, that was something to say in prayer. And we do not read that the Lord said, "No, you didn't walk with a perfect heart before me." We do not read that. We read that before Isaiah even went out of his court, out of the palace, the Lord answered that prayer. The Lord answered that prayer and gave the word to Isaiah, and "Go back to Hezekiah. I've heard his cry." Because his heart was right. And how was it right? Because of redemption in the blood of the Lamb. And that man was a saved man. And he obeyed God in his life. He looked unto the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And the Lord knew that. The Lord knew that. So he had power in prayer. He had power in prayer because his heart was right with God. There are many other examples. We could go on and look at various examples of those who've walked with God. The Lord knows who we really are. He knows who we really are. Matthew Henry said, "God will judge men according to what they are, not according to what they seem." Oh, may we think of that. May we ponder that truth. Where do we really stand with the Lord? Where is your heart? Secondly, the Lord knows why we have come. The Lord knows why we have come, why we are here, why we are wherever we are. The Lord knows. You know, it's something to think about. Some of you, I'm sure, have been coming to the Lord's house your whole life. There's always a danger that it just becomes a routine. Have we come to hear the Lord's word? Have we come for ourselves? It's interesting that Jeroboam knew where to go when he really needed to know the truth. He knew where to go when he really needed to know the truth. When he was desperate, it's too bad that he didn't come earlier. That he didn't come for counsel at other times. Because when trouble really came to his own household, he went to the one man he knew would speak the truth. He went to the man of God, sent his wife. Jeroboam's wife came concerning her son to find out what would become of the child because he was sick. We read at the very beginning of the chapter that it begins at that time. That's interesting. It says at that time. Well, what time is that? Well, Matthew Henry says, at that time, when Jeroboam prostituted and profaned the priesthood, his child sickened. It was at that time that his child became sick, even unto death. In verse 33 of the previous chapter, that's the time. We read, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places, whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Matthew Henry continues and says, his dignity as a prince, his age as a young prince, and his interest in heaven as a pious prince, we have something good said about him. Again, unusual. A wicked home. But the Lord was doing something in that boy's life. We don't have any other details, but there's something that the Lord was doing in his heart. And this boy was different than the whole of the rest of the family. But even his interest in heaven as a pious prince could not exempt him from the sickness. That judgment came upon that household. You know, we need to first come for ourselves. We need to first come to the Lord for ourselves. We need a word of God for ourselves. Then we can be a blessing to our family, to our children, to our relatives, to our friends. Otherwise, the opposite is true. And we bring trouble upon our home. This is what happened in this household. If Jeroboam came for himself, cast away his idols, the child might have been restored. But as God's servant writes, Matthew Henry says again, but most people would rather be told their fortune than their faults or their duty. We are in the Lord's house, but do we really want to hear God's word? Why are we here? Why have we come? Are you pretending to be something else? Are you pretending to come even to hear God's word, but you're not really interested in God's word? You have your own motives, your own ideas. We are in the Lord's house, but do we really want to hear the Lord's word, what we ought to do? Do we want to know what we ought to do, what we need to do in our life? Matthew Henry goes on and says, and I know I'm quoting him a lot, you can't go wrong with Matthew Henry, what a saint of God. Thus some people love to prescribe to the ministers, to their ministers, limit them to smooth things in what to say, and care not for having the whole counsel of God declare to them. What a strange notion had Jeroboam of God's prophet when he believed that he could tell him what would become of his child, and yet could not or would not discover who was the mother. Did Jeroboam think that God of Israel was like his calves, those idols he made? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a fool man is. In Psalm 50, the Lord challenges his people and says, really, if I just paraphrase, what did you think? That I was like you? I was just like you? Just a man? What did Jeroboam really think? He did not know God. He did not know God. We first need to come for ourselves, for salvation. If you do not know the Lord, flee to Him today. I've said that already. Flee from the wrath to come, because you will not escape Him and you will not deceive Him. And then only we can come for others. Then only we can really, truly come for others and plead for them and intercede for them. Set your life in order first. Make your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the only way, the only truth, the only sacrifice, the only Savior. And then you can come for others. And then we will also come, wherever we come, for God. And I want you to think about that. You will come for God. What do I mean by that? Some people need to stop thinking continuously about what the church can do for them, or the minister can do for them, or their elders can do for them, what God should do for them. And start thinking what they should do, ought to do, for God and His glory. Our life is to be lived to the glory of God. Charles Spurgeon said, God does most where we do most. Be a doing Christian. Be a living Christian. If you want the Lord to work in your life, work for God. Come for God wherever the Lord sends you. Take a stand for God. Stand for Him. Stand for His truth. This denomination has been known for that. Standing for the Lord. Standing against apostasy. Standing against compromise, worldliness. Oh, may the Lord be merciful. May He keep us in the way, that our whole life would be lived to the glory of God. An example of one who stood, just one example of many in the Scriptures, but David. You look at the King David, his life. As a young man, he showed up at the Israelite camp and he heard Goliath. And by faith, David said, who is this Philistine to blaspheme the name of God, to defy the armies of the living God? He was a young fellow. He was a teenager. But he was incensed at the blasphemy. And it stirred his soul. It was like a Nathanael. He just spontaneously reacted. It wasn't any show. In his heart, He was appalled at Goliath and what he was saying. How dare he say this against the armies of the living God, against God's people? And you know, Eliab, I've said something of him before, his older brother. I don't know what the age difference was, but there would have been a significant age difference. He was a man. He was the oldest brother. He was there with another two brothers in the army. And as one minister said, Eliab was content sitting in the camp polishing his armor, doing nothing, not willing to go and fight Goliath, but he was willing to fight with David when David came and was ready to stand for the Lord. His brother was just tidying up the tent, probably doing nothing. And when David took a stand, his brother lashed out at him. You know what his brother said to him? I quote the scriptures, I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, which could be translated the badness or even the evil of thine heart. I know thy pride and that your heart is wicked. Do you remember what the Lord said about David? Now listen to what his brother said about him. The amazing thing is when you go to fight the Lord's battles, when others won't, they'll fight you. How sad. They'll fight with you. Well, it didn't matter because God knew David's heart. And the Lord showed himself strong on the behalf, in the behalf of his servant David. And David smote Goliath. Wonder what Eliab was thinking then. The Lord knows why we have come, why we are here. Come for ourselves, then come for others, come for God, that we would live for the glory of God. Wherever we go, that we would stand for the Lord, we would come for our Lord and Savior. And then finally, the Lord knows where we are going. The Lord knows our latter end. He knows your latter end. That's a fearful thing. Our days are numbered. You know that our days are set. We're not going to one second longer than the Lord has ordained. We ought to live each day as if it were our last. I don't think we usually do that. We take things for granted. We have plans. I'm not saying it's wrong to have plans. We need to have plans. You need to be responsible. It's a sensible thing to do, to have some sort of a schedule. But having all that, and I know God's people do say, and I know they mean it. Those who are walking with the Lord mean it, in the Lord's will, because we do not know if we'll ever make it to tomorrow. We were just considering with our people in the Czech Republic, there were many deaths just near the end of the year. Maybe you noticed different things on the news as well. Sudden deaths, people no idea that they only had a few minutes to live. The Lord knows where we are going. Matthew Henry again says these words, those who think by their disguise to hide themselves from God will be wretchedly confounded when they find themselves disappointed in the day of discovery. Sinners now appear in the garb of saints sometimes and are taken as such, but how will they blush and tremble when they find themselves stripped of their false colors and are called by their own name. Go out, thou hypocrite. I never knew thee. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? Why do you pretend to be someone else? I know you not. You're not one of mine. The tidings of a portion with hypocrites will be heavy tidings indeed. The Lord knows where we are going. There will be heavy tidings for those who reject the Lord and His word. Those who reject Christ. Jeroboam rejected the Lord, and heavy tidings came. Heavy tidings came. We read in our chapter 14, in verse 7, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord, I exalted thee, made thee a prince over my people." The Lord reminded him what he did for him. The Lord did mighty things for him and gave him a mighty promise. But Jeroboam rejected God's word. And the Lord reminds him. You know, the Lord will remind you if you will forget and ignore the Lord's mercies, the Lord will remind you of them. And then he says, the Lord's word is, thou hast done evil. And the end of verse 9, has cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon you. What a word of judgment upon this man. Heavy tidings indeed for those who reject Christ. Reject His word. Reject His call to come unto Him for salvation. But good tidings for those who believe in Christ. Good tidings for those who believe in Christ. The Lord knows where we are going. We read of the angel of the Lord coming to the shepherds and saying, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In Ephesians, the well-known verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." There is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good tidings, sinner. There's hope. Don't run away from it. I don't know why you've come today. The Lord knows. That's all that's important. The Lord knows why you're here. But you are here. And may you hear the whole counsel of God and not be like Jeroboam's wife. Didn't come for herself. She was really more interested in her fortune. Not really seeking God at all. Oh, that we would desire to know the Lord. If you don't know Him today, flee to Him today. If you do know Him, delight in that. Good tidings. They're good tidings. Where are you going? You're going forward with the Lord. You are going to glory. When the Lord gives everlasting life, it is everlasting. Eternal life. We need not fear. But furthermore, good tidings for those who obey Christ. Good tidings for those who obey Christ. Obedience, obedience. We'll be closing with these final few thoughts. 2 years ago, our motto text was from Psalm 112. And there are so many portions of Scripture that speak of obedience. In Psalm 112, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty." Blessing, blessing for those who obey Christ. The Lord saves your soul. Brings good tidings. There is hope for the sinner. And then when you step out in faith, you walk with the Lord each day and obey Him, and you will know His blessing. You will know His power in your life. A simple childlike obedience by the grace of God in the strength of Christ and the empowering of the Holy Ghost. May that be what describes our life. In Psalm 112, in verse 6, we read, "Surely such a man, such a woman, shall not be moved forever." No fear, saint of God. Good tidings for those who are right with God, who are walking with God. Jeroboam sowed to the flesh, and of the flesh he reaped corruption. He reaped decay and rot. The Lord was not mocked, was not fooled. What are you sowing? What am I sowing? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's in the context of be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jeroboam lived for his position, for riches, for power, for glory. And he rejected the Lord's way and the Lord's word. And so he reaped corruption. Sow unbelief in your home, in your life, reap unbelief. Sow doubt, reap doubt. Sow bad seed, bad harvest. But sow faith, reap faith. Sow good seed, reap good harvest. Sow much, reap much. Be not deceived. The Lord is not mocked. Live for God. Know His blessing. Live for self. Suffer loss. May the Lord help us to walk in the center of His will and live for the glory of God. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, and may His name be glorified in our midst. For Jesus' sake, amen.